What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs, whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job. Choose Express Employment Professionals. Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers. Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where Traditional Medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine-free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
This week's Thursday Therapy, we've got Chris Carr. She's a multiple New York Times bestselling author, wellness activist, and cancer thriver. She's been called a force of nature by O, the Oprah magazine, and was named a new role model by the New York Times. Chris is also a member of Oprah's Super Soul 100. She's got a new book that's called I'm Not a Morning Person, Braving Loss, Grief, and the Big Messy Emotions That Happen When Life Falls Apart. Thank you so much for coming on to Wind Down.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
I have Kristen with me because she's had a rough year with some loss. And so when I was reading the breakdown, I was like, I'm not a mourning person, and mourning as in like mourning, braving loss, grief, and the big messy emotions that happen when life falls apart. And I just was like, you know, you've had 20 years of living and thriving with incurable stage four cancer, right?
That's correct.
And you still like have stage 4 cancer?
I do.
Wow. I mean,
you're so calm.
I know. Well, she's like, well, I have a book.
Yeah. So does the mourning? Okay. So just tell me this. Is the mourning and the grief go into every part of your life? Like, is the mourning and the grief in your health? Do you grieve optimal health or the idea of what your body could do or couldn't do?
I think, you know, just to take a step back, so I've been living with stage 4 cancer for 20 years now. And when I was newly diagnosed, I was terrified, like anybody would be who goes through what I write about in the book, a rupture. It's that moment where life changes. Someone dies, you have a miscarriage, you lose your job. You know, you go through a divorce. And I think in those moments, we think that if I feel any of my feelings, I won't survive them. They'll somehow take me down. And what I have learned is the way out is through. It's like that cliche saying, but it's true. And so this is my 7th book, and it's called I'm Not a Morning Person. It's about braving grief and loss and the big messy emotions that happen when life falls apart, those ruptures that will happen to each and every one of us, big and small. And so the point is to learn how to navigate these storms, to become a little bit more emotionally literate so that we understand what I call our emotional anatomy. And by doing so, we start to realize that these feelings that we have are information, just like grief is information. But for me, it was the one emotion I didn't want to touch. And so I realized that was where I needed to spend a lot of time. My therapist says something that's so great that I talk about in the book, which is when the grief train pulls into the station, it brings all the cars. It's like the old stuff you think you're over. And then the emotions that come with it, like, why am I raging? Why am I filled with shame. Like, this is so screwed up. Why is all this happening? And I think it's just an opportunity to bring those parts of ourselves back home and, you know, be curious about them to see what's going on under the surface. Grief is a master healer. That's what I've learned. So the thing that I didn't want to experience and touch, when I finally allowed it in, it was like a big relief. And then there was a domino effect of change that started to happen just from that allowing.
This is probably one of the most validating 2 minutes I've ever had because I feel so different on the other side, and not that there is another side, but just in the journey of grief and loss. And it's really hard to participate in like what the world was before. I feel like the world just kind of kept trudging on, and I was stuck in like drying cement for a while. And in a way, I was envious of the world moving on, but in so many ways, I also knew that I was like deeply inside of each minute that I was living and sorting things out, and kind of like what will be left, not because I'm ignoring it, just because I don't need it anymore. But then trying to get yourself into a world, trying to like emerge back into this world that it's almost, I described it the other day as like I've been like cocooned up for so long. And then I open my front door and I put a big toe out, and I just feel like everything is noisy and busy and fast. And I'm going, that's just not how I operate anymore. And I kind of unapologetically don't operate that way anymore. But it's very strange to try to describe that to people that haven't experienced that, how like living slow is just like, that's my default now. That's just where I'm at. And I'm okay with it. But it's so opposite of what people are used to seeing of me and how much availability they're used to having of me. So do you feel like you experience the like sweet slowness as well coming out of, I guess we're never really out of it, but just in the healing of grief?
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful way to describe it. And I love that you said not out of it, because I think what one of the things that we get wrong, because we come from and we are domesticated in a grief-phobic, messy emotions averse society, right? So when we live in that place, then we're taught to push it down, and it's physics.
Or get over it from the abuser.
Yeah.
Get over it, move on. It's been forever.
Totally. To say that when you push something down, it's going to come out another way. And to your point about getting over it, right? There isn't an over, there's through. So we oftentimes, there's a chapter that I write about called Awkward Times, Awkward People. And it's the fucked up shit that we hear or that we say. And guess what? We're all going to step in it. So why not like understand the terrain a little bit more? But I think to your point, I actually have found through this practice or through this experience that I say no to a lot more than I used to say no to.
So much more
interested. Yeah, I'm not interested in doing things that don't bring me joy, because I know that how precious this time is. And I think that there's a sweet, to use your word, liberation in that. It doesn't mean I'm not going to do things that I don't want to do because I run a business. But more often than not, I'm like, yeah, it's not worth it. No. Mm-hmm.
And it's so unapologetic, the no.
Yeah. It's like standing for your life, I think. And I think when you touch death, you come close to it. And certainly you've had the opportunity to shepherd a loved one through that chapter. It teaches you more about what matters and how you want to spend your time.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back. Tecovas, you guys, this festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. When you got your cancer diagnosis, did they tell you like, okay, this is, because I mean, when I hear stage four, that's very, isn't it only to stage five?
No, it's only to stage four. So I'm at the final stage.
So did they gave you that 20 years ago, that diagnosis? So do they say like, oh, you only have this many years, and then have you far past that, or?
Yes, I have. So yeah. I have a very rare incurable disease, and it can be slow growing and it can be aggressive. And so in the beginning, what was paramount for me was to find the right doctor, because the first doctor suggested a triple organ transplant, right? And if I had done that, I wouldn't be here. Right. So I, for the last 20 years, have been more of, you know, when I found my, what I call my second in command, it's when I decided to become the CEO of my health, hire, fire, build the team. I'm in charge. But not just I'm in charge, like you'll do what I say, because obviously these people know not a lot more than me, but I'm in charge of making the core decisions and seeing if you're a fit. And so it took a while to find that fit. And when I did, he said, sometimes this can be, as I just said, slow. It can be aggressive. We're going to watch and wait, let cancer make the first move. And you're going to go off and watch and live. Mm. And I was like, I don't know how to do that, dude, but okay. But that was the inciting incident that put me on this path.
Wow. And then are you married? Do you have kids?
I don't have kids, but I am married. Yes.
So how is that for your husband? Like how is he walking through with this, knowing that he doesn't know when he could lose you?
I actually think that I'll probably outlive him, and he agrees. So it's not something that we talk about or stress about. We met while I was making my film and writing my book. He was the editor on my project and I was the director of the project. So we've been doing this together a hell of a long time. And he's like, if there's one person that's going to remain, it's her. She's like cockroaches and Twinkies. You can't get rid of her. So
I love your calm confidence when you say it. You're like, I'm going to outlive him. So that's just done.
Yeah. It's more so about like, am I going to live in a penthouse at the Ritz with cats? Like, what are my final years going to look like? Like, it's It's where I was supposed to put my energy.
For the person that does have a fear of death, what would be your advice to them to overcome that?
I don't think it's overcomable if we're to be honest with ourselves, because death is probably the thing that every single one of us, we're in some ways frightened about it, or in very valid ways terrified of it, because no matter what we believe to be true, we truly don't know what happens after we die, right? We'll learn that then. And so I think more often than not, I would say, first and foremost, if you find yourself catastrophizing, to be able to come back to the moment and say, like, this is a story that I'm telling about this. I'm not dying currently in this moment. Like, you know, even if I am not, if I am dying, I am still here right now. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's one thing, but I think to understand it a little bit more, because we're frightened of it, oftentimes we are skillless and we have no tools when it matters. So not just your own death, but the death of a loved one. And then, you know, not knowing what's actually going to happen as your body shuts down, or what hospice is, or, you know, what your options are, or what, like, thinking about your end of life care, which can feel like, no way, I'm not going to go there. That's so morbid. But, you know, we spend a whole lot of energy preparing to bring a child into the world. And there's a lot of celebration and joy and fear and all of the stuff that happens, right? But we put death under the carpet, or we shove it in a corner, and we archive our elders. And there's something very wrong with that. And each and every one of us will face it at some point. So why not educate ourselves more about it so we can have a good death?
I want to have a good death.
What do you want? Do we want a party? Do we want speeches? Do we want sound baths?
I mean, maybe all of it. I'd love for you to just have a little retreat for yourselves in my honor. So just use me as an excuse to get a break.
Well, girl, we'll go at the same time. We're going to hold hands.
Yeah. Neither one of us are living without each other. I do know that. It's codependency in its most beautiful form, Chris Carr.
That's good. I like that. You'll be like Thelma and Louise, like, you know, hands together and off the cliff you go.
Listen, we could bury each other quite literally with all the shit we know about each other already. So we might as well just go at the same time.
True that.
True that.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job, not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. What was the hardest chapter for you to write in your new book?
I'd say the most beautiful chapter I wrote was actually about my dad's passing. And I was writing that book and crying and, you know, feeling all the feelings, and because there was a lot of truth there and beauty there. But I'd say the hardest chapter for me to write was a chapter about rage. So this chapter is called Becoming Unbecoming. And in the book, I break out each chapter according to different emotions or experiences that you might go through when shit hits the fan. And what I wasn't prepared for was the amount of anger and rage that came up in me, not just for his diagnosis and the idea of losing him, but also trauma and unprocessed emotions from my own diagnosis 20 years ago. And my father is my chosen father, so I'm adopted. But also what was coming up too is trauma and anger towards my biological father, right? And holy crap, the whirlwind. And so here I am writing about this while I'm also, you know, not too far out from experiencing this very big emotion. And what I found so healing in the process of just writing the book, and I hope people experience reading it, is when we begin to become more emotionally literate and understand the anatomy of our emotions, then we get curious and say, okay, this is what it is. This is how it behaves. This is normal. And usually there's something else attached to it or underneath it. So rather than going into a shame spiral because I had either eruptions or implosions, I could go, oh, well, let me put on my little wellness detective hat and see what's really going on here, which would help me become more compassionate towards myself, maybe forgive myself for certain things that I did that I wish I hadn't, and ultimately build a healthier relationship with me.
You're so brilliant and such a little light.
Well, you can relate on the dad and, you know, the dad side too of it, you know, losing your father and having anger from your own childhood and then so the passing. It's like it's a lot to hold all different feelings. It's like the angry, the sad, the betrayed,
it's also interesting too. I think that there's the mourning that you do in your own self, and then there's a mourning that I at least experienced, and like the idea of what people may or may not become or how they may or may not show up in my life after my dad passed. Mm-hmm. So I had anticipated maybe a different relationship with my mom. And I also, and not that any of us can predict, right? That's like grief is this sneaky,
right?
Grief is just sneaky. And so it comes out in different ways. And there's an emotional intelligence level too. Like I went first into like my own therapy triage. I just needed a minute. There was times where I took myself out of my own world because I did have the rage. I was snappy with my kids. I was snappy with my husband. And I just looked at him and I said, this has nothing to do with you. And I know that. And so I was able to take a 36-hour mini trip with my very best friend from home, who I knew was going to love me through, even if I was just a little shithead for 36 hours, you know, and I came back, and those things don't fix, but they're deposits in the healing.
Beautiful.
But there is an interesting thing that I'm observing in the way that my mom is processing grief and her mourning that is also then an offshoot of my mourning. Like, well, I kind of thought maybe she would be around more and more participatory in like my world, or because this, my dad was an addict, so he drank and drug addiction my entire life and was very good at victimizing himself. And so he, and we then, you know, the cycle of all of that is that we have to pretend that he was a certain way. And my mom is still very much pretending. And so when I interrupt the PR campaign for him by stating something on social media, being vulnerable, whatever, and I'm never mean about him. He can't defend himself. What good does that do? But I am open to say, like, Father's Day sucks. And it sucked for a lot of us before our dads died, you know? And I say it much more beautifully than that. But the mourning, the loss of ideas, I think, is also another layer that goes with grief. And it's mourning maybe the people that are still alive a little bit in a way. Did you experience any of that around?
Oh, without question, because I think what happens is when you go through loss, family structures and relationships change. And sometimes what wasn't working really comes out. Right. And so there's big tectonic shifts in the structure. And I, from my own experience, it's just, I can't change you. The only time you can change someone is when they're in diapers. It's a good thing to remember.
I really want to hug you. That one hits.
So I can't fix somebody else. I can't change how they're feeling. And I think when we talk about, like what I mentioned earlier about the chapter, Awkward Times, Awkward People, we step in it so much with each other around this messy stuff. Sometimes we center ourselves. Sometimes we interrupt. We make it all about us. Sometimes we quickly change the topic. All of these things that we do, I believe in the goodness of people. We do them unintentionally, right? But we do them because we don't know what to do. And so it's one of those practices where it's like, keep your side of the street clean, and say, you know, here's the work that I'm doing on my own healing. And first and foremost, like there's a story that I write about in the book that I've been talking a lot about in podcasts, which is because it was emotion I didn't want to experience. And because I kept pushing it down, there was one moment where it was like at the tipping point and I was in CVS and my mom had asked me to pick up more Ensure. We didn't know how much longer my father had. And unconsciously the thought came to mind, like, should I get a six pack or should I get a case? Well, how long does he have to live? And all of the flood of emotion that I had been keeping at bay just came to the surface. And I was like, run out of CVS. And I made it to my car and then the deluge just came out. But after that experience, there was like a calm in the storm. It was almost like a dose of medicine. It's like I was high. And I thought to myself, this feels so much better. And if this feels better, why am I avoiding it? And what else am I avoiding? Mm-hmm. Right. And so doing that work of like, hey, this is my side of the street. This is the grief that I'm experiencing. And yes, there it has tentacles, but everybody's journey, I think, through it, not over it, but through it is unique to their own hearts.
Mm-hmm. The side of the street thing's interesting because I remember doing that with the past. And sometimes other people can spill all their stuff on your side of the street too. So they're not, you're cleaning up lots of stuff on the side of the street.
But yeah, I keep getting invited over on the other side of the street. I think that's where I'm like, oh, no, I'm good over here.
Yeah. I'm like, thank you.
It is interesting, though, that you say people will, you said something that really super reminded me. I'm always careful to say too much on here because, like, my mom is a healthy person out in the world. So it's not a bad thing, but there's so much attention back to her. Like, even my daughter has recognized a couple of things where she's like, wow, it's just really about her. And it's like, she's just in this like freedom phase. I call it spring break, if I'm honest, which is probably a little ugly, but I feel like she's on spring break. She also took care of him for a long time. They were married for 40 years and she'd been with him since she was 23. So mm-hmm. A lot of times I witness 23-year-old like behavior if I'm just observing, I'm not judging, just truly just observing. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. But that, like, it is their own process and sometimes really hard to watch. So did you feel like, and this may, if this is too personal, that's fine. You can just give me the pass or tell me no, because I know you're good at it. But how did your mom's relationship and your relationship then change after the passing of your dad? Did you feel like the big shifts, or did it feel like you leaned into each other more? Was there a time of space? Does it go with the ebbs and flows? Does it, like, how does that work for you too?
We're a lot closer now, but we're both committed to the work and it's messy. So there are times when I'm like, you're stepping on me. You're making this all about you. I don't feel heard.
Yeah.
That's the truth of my experience.
And does she hear you?
Yes, 100%. Because we have decided that we're going to do the hard stuff because our relationship is our core intention. Right. And so that means when you're like, well, my intention is to have a healthy relationship with you, that means I'm going to have a lot of fucked up times with you too. And we're going to talk about him.
That's the piece. Right? Yeah.
And so it's not like it hasn't been bumpy. It's been very bumpy at times, but it's like, okay, what's my goal here? It's to have a deeper relationship with this person. And I think what you're talking about is centering yourself. And so I see that a lot in grief, because it oftentimes can come from anxiety. I don't know what to say, so I'll just say a lot of things and make it about me. And oftentimes, you know, just because I've written this book and I've done a deep exploration of this topic for the last 4.5 years personally, but also as an author, people will say, well, if you know all these things not to say. And we could talk about some of those, but what do you say to somebody who's going through a grieving process? And I'm like, there's actually nothing you can say. You can't say, so take the pressure off. You can't make it better. But what you can do, and it's not your job to fix it, by the way. It's not your job to fix it. If you want to be in relationship with this person, then my advice is just to listen. Just show up and be present and be like, I don't even know what to say, but I love you. I brought tissues. I brought lasagna.
I'm here. I think that's, everything. Cause it's like, even like going through, you know, divorce or whatever, people will be like, oh, well, at least it's like, no, there's not, don't give me an at least, don't give me a but, don't give me a, well, you get your kids. Oh my gosh. Well, how nice of a break. I'm like, none of that helps to hear any of that. That's, I don't want a break from my kids. Like, I do, but like, I don't want them out of my house, you know, like every other weekend. Or it's like, I think people, their own uncomfortability lends them to saying like, well, now you can do whatever you want because you've got a death sentence and you can now go do what. It's like, no, like none of these, nothing you're saying is actually.
It's like we default to this like bright side mentality. And sometimes it's okay to just say like, I work in a infant stillborn task force in Nashville. So we'll go and, so I'm in the thin places a lot. And that's been interesting to navigate to after the loss of my dad and all these others at the same time. But I think like the most validating thing to say to anybody, whether it's divorce, miscarriage, death, any of this, is just like, I'm sorry and it's not fair. Because that's the beautiful reality. I mean, it's like we toxically bright side everything. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to be without your kids for a week. No. You actually didn't even want to get divorced.
No.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's like we all... It is that, like, I think what the most beautiful thing, and I cannot wait to read your book, truly. Like, and this is going to sound creepy, but I'm taking you in the bathtub with me. Because that's when it's the most silent for me. but I think the most beautiful thing is just this idea that we just need to, like, sit with it. Because we're such a go society. We're so fast paced that we even just fast pace ourselves through emotion. It's like, oh, no time for that. Got to keep on moving. Because I mean, but eventually it does, like it builds up. It goes somewhere, whether it's in your body, whether it's out on a spouse, you know, I mean, we need the freedom.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. I know, that's why you're going in the bath with me, Chris Carr.
Well, everyone go get Chris Carr's book, I'm Not a Morning Person, Braving Loss, Grief, and the Big Messy Emotions That Happen When Life Falls Apart. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being honest and vulnerable and helping so many people. And you have an incredible story. And obviously you're helping people that, like you said, that go through all types of loss. So thank you for doing what you do and writing that book.
Thanks for having me.
You're beautiful.
Thanks, girl.
What a good, wonderful spirit.
Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where traditional medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine-free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend, and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.